All right, it is 6 o'clock. We will call the meeting to order. Roll call, we have a list of who's here. We are missing two, I believe. No one here for public comment. No correspondence that I'm aware of. So we'll move straight on to minutes from the February meeting. By the way, we skipped the March meeting because of weather.
And I apologize for the sun coming out at 5 o'clock that day.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Invoices for February and March.
As you can tell, they're much more detailed. So this is the new way you're going to see the invoices, which I actually really like too, because they're listed as well as from what account they're coming from. As you can tell, most of the money being spent is for library materials. Anyone have any questions?
I'll move to approve the invoices.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Revenue and expense report.
So these are now being released quarterly. So this is for the first quarter, so the end of March 31st. We are right on schedule. I don't see any major issues.
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Director's report.
Library staff update. We're still fully staffed. So I just, we're really happy with that. And we have a great crew of people. And I want to wish them a happy National Library Workers' Day, which is tomorrow. Is that right? Tomorrow? Just to let you know, I'm buying them food. So everyone is happy when they get food. So, but they have been doing a terrific job. We've had a great year. And they have dealt with a lot with the remodeling. And you should be very proud of the staff. They've worked really hard and they're dedicated to providing service to our users. Next item is the library statistics.
We have a huge jump in outreach.
Oh, yeah.
And adult programming attendance. What was the program that brought so many people in March? 42.
Man, we have so many now. It's The family programs have been really phenomenal. 41, the last one, for, Springcraft. And then this week we have a whole range of programs all week for National Library Week. Our first one today, I don't know how many people showed up, but it was a silent book club in the community room. And it's really kind of cool how Alyssa set it up. She brought in bean bags and blankets so people just chill. And I'm sorry, I can get back to you to the program.
I actually think I just, would it be the ribbon cutting now that I'm thinking about it?
It could be the ribbon cutting. But the family programs have all been well attended. And so that's one thing that I did talk to Kate when she started. Is like, let's really boost family programming because I think that would improve people coming in. And it is clear that families are looking for something to do on a Tuesday or Thursday night. And they've been very, a lot of it's art related and putting things together as a family. And it's worked out really well. And then, you know, we've had extra attendance too for the last month with the district-wide art show. And there was incredibly talented kids in this community I'm not surprised. The talent that you see, it's pretty incredible. Next year, it will be in Sockville, and then we get it back in. It's every other year, but it's very impressive. There are some people that really like the jewelry, and they wanted to buy the jewelry, and I'm like, well, you can contact the student after the show's over.
Something else to add to that, just remembered, our community room, of course, wasn't open during renovation. So now that it's open again, some of our programs that were on pause have resumed. So that would explain some of the increase as well.
And you were correct. I think, yeah, the ribbon cutting was in March. So, yeah, that probably added quite a bit.
Yeah, it was a great turnout.
Yeah. Okay, we're moving on to new business, renovation update.
So we're almost done. There's a couple of things that still need to be complete. One is the installation of the outdoor book locker. That hopefully will happen in the next couple of weeks. We got to get some electrical outlet installed. It has been moved where it's going to be. It's going to be further east. So it won't cover the WJ Needlecorn sign. We'll go down a little further, but we'll have to get electric in there, and we still have money over from the grant to do that, and then get a port, an internet connection. And I'm waiting for a proposal from a graphic artist for wayfinding in the library with signage. It's all going to be a really well thought out plan. The look will all be the same. We'll be adding a lot more signage than what's there. Of course, that's all based on cost. They're the same group who did the van. And they're very excited. They're library users. They have a really good eye. So hopefully we'll get something this week with the plan. And we still have to get the smart board. But the majority, there's still a few things that needed to be done with HVAC, the HVAC system. One issue was even before the renovation started, and that needs to get fixed. It makes the community room too hot. They have to replace the valve, and it has been ordered. They're just waiting for it to come in. But nothing but positives about the renovation. Study rooms are being used. We have to work on clarifying some of our procedures with the study rooms. And like I expected, there are people that try to take advantage of using them. And so we just, we're probably going to have to crack down a little bit. So for example, we had an issue which led to a bad interaction with staff. A lady left the study room. She didn't tell anyone. And then her husband was using it. But the room wasn't signed up under him. It was signed up under her. And you might say, oh, what's the big deal? It's very important that the person who signs up to use the room checked out of the room and used the right ID, because her husband didn't have a library card, because we will expect some type of vandalism, that type of stuff, and that's the only way we can really kind of track who is using it. The staff do not have time, to go around all the time and checking to make sure everything's okay. So we do put a lot of responsibility on the user. We have a staff meeting on Wednesday, and we're just going to talk about some of the issues that have come up so far. So it's a good time for us to readjust. And it will never be perfect. There always will be some things that will come up, but the staff have been doing a great job dealing with all the change. Teen Cafe. So included in your packet is, this was written by Alyssa, who's coordinating the Teen Cafe. She is trying to get some teens to join a teen advisory board. It's been some of a struggle, but she's not giving up. If we're still going to have some programming, but we would rather have a lot of the programming come out from the teens. Every community, they're all trying to do the same thing we are, reach out to teens and get them into the library. Even it's amazing how some communities can create a great program for teens, but others can't get any teens come in. So it's a struggle. But we do know as we give out free food, they will come. So we will continue to do that.
Tom, how was this? I know I saw signage around the library, but was it marketed in any other way?
Yeah, she contacted the schools. They have I always forget the librarian's name.
Andrea Dimmer.
I think so. Yeah. It's tough. Kids are they have so much going on. So it's hard to, find them. Yeah. But
and when can they start signing up for next year's board, the 26-27?
That's a good question. I'll have to double check with Alyssa. I mean, if you know anyone who's interested, please have them contact Alyssa any time of the year. And hopefully we can get some really good candidates. It'd be great if we get some of the young, 10th graders, just because they could stay on for a couple of years, or we can try to get from Sockville as well, because it's part of the school district. But I know they're trying to do the same thing in Sockville as well, to get teens in. So we're not giving up.
Tom, I wonder if reaching out to the communication teachers, what we used to call English teachers, would help as well.
Sure.
They could maybe spread the word in their classrooms.
Yeah, we are going to be sending them information regarding the summer reading program, because there will be a teen component to it, and children's staff already have a date at the schools to go and do their show. I'm not sure what they're doing this year, because the theme is dinosaurs. And so I'm sure they will come up with something creative. If anyone's interested in going as a dinosaur in a costume, we can rent one for you. They're out there. I did check with getting like a 30-foot dinosaur. You can rent them from California, but it was like $1,000 a day. Well, there's that, but I did find out there's a guy in St. Francis who has an animatronic T-Rex. It's like 8 feet high. So it's been hard to get a hold of him, but I'll still double check, because maybe we'll get lucky. Any other questions regarding teen programming? Okay, also in your packet is the library's charter. This was something I read up for city council, and I did present it at the last city council meeting. It's just a rearrangement of what's in the business plan. Nothing in here should be new at all. Is it something they want us to do every year?
Okay, I've been on this board a long time. I was not aware we had a treasurer.
Yep.
What are your duties as
treasurer? Not a lot of relief.
Well.
As long as it's not me.
Sorry.
How up to date, I guess, does the member list have to be? I know Jane will be leaving us, you know, in the next couple of months, and we do have one member who hasn't been in attendance in a while. I guess, how important is the member list?
I don't know. I was just told to put it in. So, I mean, we could, I can see where we could leave it out because it's already in other parts of the, it's on the council page.
Or just how frequently does it need to be updated, I guess, was.
And this is the updated. I haven't heard back from the mayor. I contacted him regarding Kelly and Jane, and I haven't.
You know, he's putting together recommendations for for applicants, for board members, but I haven't seen, we haven't seen the list either. So hopefully he's updating it. You know, in terms of the, like, the ongoing successes and goals, other than the finance committee seeing it in the fall in terms of what happened this year and then what the goals are for next year, the council doesn't really have a lot of visibility to individual departments' goals, metrics, KPIs, strategies, other than this forum. So, like, it's something that we started, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, Dan, to understand what. Just to have greater visibility to what the boards and staff are doing.
Right. And I mean, this is, has all been included in our monthly reports. And we do have a strategic plan. And I'm hopefully in the next few months, I'll have an update because we basically have already, we've done everything. I mean, that really the main goal of the strategic plan was a new space. and it happened. So I'll have a summary hopefully in the next few months.
Yeah, I think it just also creates some greater accountability on staff's part too, just to kind of give you something to shoot for and something to measure against when we kind of wrap up for the year.
Sure.
It's good.
Are there any questions?
I think we're good.
So, rules of conduct. So it's time to take a look at the rules of conduct, and we can you can take a look at it and then talk about it at the next meeting. We haven't updated this till since 2016. We've had some behavior problems. Not a lot, but we, you know, we have some people who are struggling in life, and have been coming to the library, which is a great, we're a great place, but unfortunately, some of their personal behavior is something that doesn't follow our rules of conduct, and it's been hard for some of the staff because they're not used to it. For I have a lot of experience dealing with people that are having difficulties in life. And so it's just good that we have all this up to date. We had a situation which someone from Family Promise, you know, left their card and wanted, you know, staff to call them if the person was acting up. We want to get out of that. That's not something we're not professionally trained to do. It hasn't happened again. I'm just letting you know so you're aware. And so, you know, it has been a challenge to some staff. There's a line that, you know, we don't want to cross. And we want people to feel welcomed in the library. Unfortunately, some of the behavior scares other users of the library, so there is a balance. I think we are very lucky that the police are very responsive, and they have great training and how to de-escalate. They know where people can get help in the community. It's just important that we keep this up to date and the board is made aware. You know, we're not having problems as other large urban libraries have, with mainly it's the mentally people with mental challenges. And but it does visit Port Washington ever so often. And we just want the staff to be protected.
Tom?
Yes?
Is there a list of the community support resources in the library somewhere that if perhaps there's a staff person there that's that in, if you don't have to call the police, you could just hand them this sheet of paper and not and just say.
Well, there are handouts to local organizations, NAMI, et cetera.
Right.
But it's been my experience that people really take offense to you, for us, a layperson, giving them something, whereas it's much easier if the police get involved. It's mainly, you know, when the people who are intoxicated, which we haven't seen, but with the mentally challenged, yes, we know where to tell people to get where resources or, you know, I think staff, there are a couple of pamphlets. I'll need to double check to make sure there's still some there. But I think it's really important that staff, we don't get the staff too involved in the different situations. Because unfortunately, some of these things can explode like rather quickly. And so I'm much more comfortable with just having the police handle the situation. So for example, on Friday, someone left their bag, their backpack and an overnight bag in the library. Mm-hmm. And it was there for a couple hours. So I called the police. I probably let it go on too long, but you don't let bags just sit there. It's been ingrained in my head, just like in airports now, you don't leave it. And so I actually called the police, and before they got there, the person came and got it, and I talked to her. I said, you know, you can't, she left the building. She left, I go, you can't leave this material here. And the police didn't even talk to her. I talked to her beforehand, but the police did tell me that they were known, the person was known. So it's really a case-by-case basis and how comfortable the staff is.
I would think it would escalate more if the police were called sometimes than if you would just have a sheet available with all the resources in the town on it that a staff person could just hand to them or even have on one of those plastic holder things that they could just grab.
Right, but... And that is very true to a certain extent. However, the police in this town in Port are very well trained in dealing with the mentally ill and other people who have challenges. I've seen it in action, and I've been very impressed. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we're very fortunate is that they've been trained. It's been for a long time. I mean, they're like one of the first communities that really have made an effort to get trained and de-escalate. They're very, I've watched it there, and we just don't have the same training as they do.
Right.
And I totally understand what you're saying.
Can I cut in? We do actually have a link to a big list of community resources. Back when the city had a diversity and inclusion committee, I did serve on that committee, and that was one of the projects we worked on. So it hasn't been updated in several years because that committee, to my understanding, was dissolved.
Right.
But it's not something that we could still update it ourselves too, but when it's a stagnant printed document, it is harder to keep those things updated too. So I think in general, you know, we will refer people when they ask, I'm looking for information on, you know, different baseball leagues, we'll refer them to the rec department, or, you know, we'll try and guide people to the right department. But there is a link on our website, so I could send that out to you too if you'd like to take a look at
it. And I'd be happy to help update that. I've done it for domestic violence organizations, and I guess I'm thinking of, you know, when someone would come to the domestic violence agency, we knew they had domestic violence, but so many other issues along with that.
Sure.
And they didn't always want to tell us about it, but we would have a thick resource packet of available resources in Wausau, and we could just give that to them. It wasn't, there wasn't any judgment, there was no escalation. It was just, here you go, choose what you want, you know, if you want it. I would think at a public library, that would be very helpful. That's probably where that link comes in, but.
Right, I guess I'm thinking of two different situations. I'm thinking of people that are already acting up in the library, and that instead of people who come up and ask, it's sure. Like we definitely can find information for them. And when people have staff, usually will come get me if I'm there during the day, and mm-hmm. you know I sit on the United Way board, so mm-hmm. I know where all the different organizations are. Mm-hmm. But in terms of people that are really acting up. I'm still going to encourage the staff to contact the authorities.
Sure.
Because, you know, last week, you know, we have a staff member who took a lot of abuse from a patron.
Sure.
And a lot of times it's just easier to just quietly have the police come and deal with the situation. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if this, you know, it ebbs and flows. And so I'm confident we can rely on the local police department. They have been there. You know, I've had colleagues that have worked in really big urban libraries and the police never even come. And so we're very fortunate that. But I totally understand, and we'll just double check our resources list
Yeah, it's two different situations. I'm just thinking of something that anybody could grab and find the resources that they would need.
Tom, I'm wondering, is it a part of annual training for library staff? Any sort of, obviously not to the level of calling police, but any sort of de-escalation strategies, is that included from the library or the city in any way?
Well, we may have an opportunity for some of that training. Actually, CivMIC, the city's insurance company, is putting on a special program just for libraries directors next week, I believe. And I will be attending that, and I can ask. Because, you know, they want staff to be able to deal with these situations because, you know, it is a liability if things happen. But I'll definitely take a look. I have personally been to some of the de-escalation training, and if you don't do it all the time, mm-hmm. You kind of lose that skill, you know. But I want them to just feel comfortable seeking mm-hmm. help to staff.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, having been through some of those, that would absolutely be a part of the training, right? Is being able to identify when it is beyond your control, but certainly for our patrons, but also for the confidence of staff, to your point, to just have a couple of strategies in their back pocket. So if that's an option, I think that would be a really great opportunity.
Thank you. Wow, this meeting's going fast. So the last item, so is regarding the garden that's west of the library. The parks are going to be, they're very busy, and they have not hired another garden person. So I would like the board to approve the just me hiring, there's a person I know that can come in and clean up the garden and get it ready for, this is the second planning year. For this particular garden. So next year it should even be better and shouldn't require as much help. We have donation money left over. So I'm just looking to spend less than $1,000 for cleanup, and then maybe occasionally we'll have the person come in during the summer. And I know the parks will try to do the best. Last year they didn't help. And it was really hard to keep it maintained. The person specializes in, these are native garden, it's all native plants, and they specialize in that. So are there any questions?
So not to exceed $1,000, and then just for this year, Tom, or is any?
Yes, I'm hoping just for this year. We got to figure out a plan with parks. It's been a challenge every year, and so I just want us to get a good start on the year of the growing season. I mean, we have plenty of rain, so I don't think we need any more of that for a while. Yeah.
So would you like a motion to that effect then? I make a motion to approve not to exceed $1,000 in 2026 for garden assistance.
A second. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Great. Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Does anybody else have anything to bring up?
Is there any updates on the lighting in the parking lot? Back parking lot?
No.
Will that be improved with the locker then going in there then, or will that be lit? Or
yes, there is some lighting on it. That is the parking in the parking lot is Public Works, and they have looked at different scenarios. I will tell you, it's the people who live behind. The library. They don't want the light pollution, but we have to do something because it is really dark in the summer, in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm. And with that pathway that I always call it the wall, tell the kids go to the wall, you know, but that path between the wall and the parking lot, that's always just full of leaves, slippery leaves, and then it's dark. I don't even like going there in the dark.
That was supposed to be cleaned up by Parks. They've been notified.
Okay. I was just wondering if the lighting would improve with that lacquer coming, but maybe not that much.
Probably not that much because it's going to be over the locker.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's still an issue. I can talk to Rob again. We have gotten quotes from We Energies because they can post. We Energy owns the post, and we can put light on there, but we have to pay a monthly charge. I think it's like $20 to $30, but it would really spread over the parking lot. I would prefer that, but I don't know if other members of the council will approve it. But I have talked to CivMec, the insurance guy, and there's really no state law or code for parking lot lighting that I'm aware of. So, but I can check into it again. Okay, I can do that.
Okay, do I have anything else? Okay, I just need a motion to adjourn.
All motion.
Second. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You're adjourned.
Okay, thanks everyone. Yeah.